We're busy with building our house on the rock and going through the Sermon on the Mount, but in preparation again, I just sensed this morning, and obviously with at the back of my mind with Mother's Day, that the Lord wants to quickly chat to us about honor. He wants me to share about honor and what it is. And does it have a rightful place in our culture? Does it have a rightful place in my vocabulary? Does it have a rightful place in my heart? And so on Mother's Day, we, according to Scripture, just honoring our mothers, as the Lord says in Exodus 20 and in Matthew 15. And it's really a fun time to just reflect on who these people are and who these ladies are in our lives, and how we see them. And it's something that we need to do. But I also believe that honor and the culture of honor is something that's often lacking. Maybe just in my life. I don't know about you. Do you think honor is lacking in your life by any chance? Honor of other people. I'm not saying honor of yourself. You all have a mirror at home. I'm sure you've done a fair amount of honoring. Come on. Come on, Chris. Is your luck. Jug. We all check if the hairs are right. It's the camel beard. Camel man beard still going. We all have our moments. But today, we want to talk about a biblical and godly honor. Let's pray. Jesus, please have your way. We honor you. We esteem you. We lift up your name high. Oh, you're good. You're so good. Please touch my life now physically and emotionally and spiritually and bring your word forth now in Jesus' name as you deem fit. Not me. Not culture. Not anything in the spirit, but you and your spirit and your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been honoring mothers this morning. If you've kind of missed it, it's Mother's Day. It's a good thing to maybe give mom a call, give her a cupcake, give her a high five, whatever she needs. Take her to the spur, bless her. I know what it feels like to be a mother, by the way. You might be sniggering. I've felt it lately. Edna's one arm was in a sling, as you know, and you prayed for her and brought us food. Thank you very much. But I had to take over Mila 24, it felt like 24/7. It was probably like 22/7, but it was a long time. And I felt and I saw and I know what she does, not even physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. And it's insane what mothers need to do. So thank you guys. It's really a blessing what you do for us. Now, moving on to the first point very briefly, in honor, I needed to go and look up because out of some circles in America and gospel circles, you'll hear this often said, We need a culture of honor. Now, it's very biblical. We can go to the other side where we start idolizing honor and we just constantly want to like kiss each other on the cheek and stuff and just honor and love. And we forget to lay down our lives and just serve and just do the basics as well. And we're not going there, but it's something that's very applicable. And I believe a building block or a puzzle piece that might be missing in some of our lives. And it will actually help us to see better. I believe exactly as Johan sensed coming to church this morning. You'll see why I say that just now. Very briefly, what is honor in your opinion? What is honor in your opinion? Anybody? Respect. I like that. Esteeming somebody higher than yourselves. That's also very good. Acknowledgement. Yes, I like that. Acknowledgement. Anybody else? What is honor? Who think honor is just a waste of time? Who's ever been at a place where somebody gets honored and you get all shy? Like, oh, this is cringe. It's weird. Come on, who's been there? I've been like, oh, nee, stop it. Please, this is weird. Stop it. Stop. I'm very sensitive to these things. So, who's ever seen honor and it's like tacky, weird? Okay, three of us. Four. Thank God. Five. Yes. Okay, so honor can kind of be weird as well, but cheesy. But we're not going for the cheesy honor. Demi would be glad we're not going for the cheesy honor. I said, yes, simply for me, if you tell me what is it or ask me what it is, I'll just say it's how we see. And it's that we do see. And if we see, we acknowledge. That's it. Life is quite fast these days. It happens quickly. And when somebody comes along and they notice and they acknowledge, it kind of takes you aback. I've noted in a coffee shop or in a shopping center with an employee, I usually just ask them, and I've said this to you before, and it's not a formula, it's just something that's part of my culture. Hey, how are you doing? And they're like, usually, I said, do you want bags? I'm like, how are you doing? And then at the end of the day, I always ask them, what time can you go home? And the moment I ask that, it's like the whole of the world has stopped. There is somebody that actually also thinks of this. It's not a miracle or a magic wand trick. It's just to actually know, what time are you going home? And if it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon and they say 10, I'm like, shoo, that's still a long way. So I'm not faking it like, oh, cool, y'all, it's almost there. No, I'll acknowledge. Hell, it's another 4 hours of standing there. I acknowledge that. I'm going home. I'm going to braai, by the way. No, don't do that. I don't say that. Please don't. But I acknowledge the fact that for 4 hours, you still need to do that job that you actually despise, maybe. And it's just their world light up. And then they'll remember you the next time you walk in, and it's just a matter of acknowledging. There's a very simple way to, I want to do a campaign one day. Please don't steal this. It's the Lord's, but don't steal it. ICU, just very simply. The world needs more ICU. High intensive care units, obviously, but very simply, ICU. I think we should do a fast where we say 2 people a day, just where you stop, where you don't necessarily give attention to, just stopping and say, I see you. How are you doing? Not fake it, because this can become so religious very quickly. Like I've said hello to 2 people. I went to 2 tills and I asked, when are you going home? No, it's really to see and to care and to acknowledge. Because why? Because all of a sudden you get valued. This culture doesn't value us. It values what is in your pocket. It values your buying power. It values your vote. It values your voice as long as it's profitable unto them. God doesn't work that way. He's different. He paid for us. Anyway, we'll get to that just now. I'm enjoying this. I have no idea how we're going to get done by 11. But yeah, let's see how it goes. Now quickly, a definition of honor. Just very simply, you can go look at the Greek definition there. Timei, a value. That is money paid or concretely or collectively valuables. Something that is valued. And then dignity. We heard honor, precious, price, etc. As a noun, honor in the Bible means to esteem, value, or have great respect. And Johan started off by saying respect. So esteem to value. In other words, to say, I see you, I value you, and I acknowledge you. That feels lacquer, doesn't it? Come on, who in this place who's not felt that this morning in church yet? Who's brave enough to say that? Either you all have been acknowledged and seen, which is good, or you're lying. I'm not sure. But this should be a place, by the grace of God. And I'm not a, hey, let's be a small, medium-sized church type of guy. I'm just saying, let's be a people that actually see one another. Otherwise, we are, as I've jokingly said before, hi, broer, hi, sister. More, more, ja, nee, tea, coffee, dankie. Okay, kom ons gaan huis toe. But we can be a people that actually see one another for who we are and who the Lord has made us to be. It is to esteem, to value, and to have great respect. To honor someone is to value him highly or bestow value upon him. Value. Is there people in your life, in your culture, in your community that you do not value? There is. Let me look you straight in the eye. There's people that you do not value. Not because you're horrible, because we've got a flesh, we're accustomed to certain ways, and we think a certain way. James, Jacobus, if I remember correctly, tells us, be careful that if a rich man walks in the church doors, that I don't do flip-flops. Hey man, come sit, you saw. Cookie for you. Yes, here's a money, man. You can a cookie get raised, okay. Yet when the poor man walks in, you do not notice it. Now that's just a very, very simple cultural analogy, but there's many of that we do in our hearts. If they don't like the stormers, I don't like them. It's very simple. If they don't like touchies, what's wrong with them? You know, that type of thing. And so we do these things, but we need to work at it that the Lord comes and shows us the value of all people. Let me quickly ask the following question. What is your value? What is your value? What price can I put on your head? Willem, ek het die planne nie, vra net. Lydia het ook die planne nie, ons vra net. What price, what value? And some of us might feel, well, not much, R4.50, miskien. $6, maybe if I'm lucky. But what value can we put on your life? Come on, this is not difficult. If you think theologically, this is actually very easy. What price can I put on your head, on your life? Okay, lekker, Here was het baie werk. Let me start here. Who of you have a value? Okay, great, that's good. If it is a price to be paid, has there ever been a price paid for you? Gaan 'n paar ligte aan. I value your intelligence, people. Prys die Here. I'm joking. I had to work through this thing. Because if you tell me honor, like, I think a false humility kicks in. It's like, nee, man. No, don't honor me type of thing. Yet it's very biblical. Yet it is good to call it out what is in a man and call out the honor and God's hand upon a man and see the righteousness that the Lord has done in their lives. It is very, but we sometimes don't know where to hide. But there's a value in your life. And yes, you correctly said the value of your life is the life of Jesus Christ. But this is the beautiful thing. Albeit the rich man that walk into the church or the poor man that walk into the church. Albeit the CEO that walks into you at Woolies and are buying coffee for them versus the fact that you're just going to 2 moments later talk to the teller or not the teller, the till lady. The cashier, thank you so much. Thank you, Demi. Praise the Here that he is. I value your contribution. Albeit the CEO or albeit the cashier, it's just to see that the value of Jesus Christ determines the value of those individuals. And so there's no one out there that you can walk out there. I don't care what sin they are currently in. I don't care what bondage. I don't care what they do, but they are valued for that price. An ultimate price was paid for their lives. So this is a cornerstone for this morning that we cannot forget. 2 other basic scriptures that will just stir our hearts and help us to create a new wineskin or create a new culture or way of thinking is the following. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Look to your neighbor, look them in the eye and say, honor all people. Ma, kijk vir iemand en sê, honor all people. She didn't think that was funny. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Who likes that part, by the way? We're not going to talk politics. We're not. Don't worry. We're going to stick to the fact that we need to honor all people, not just the rich, not those that look like you. Who likes people that's very similar to them? Oh, that's easy. All of a sudden, everybody's awake. Says, amen, broer. Romans 12:10 says the following, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. In honor. And so scripture is very clear. We know that there's a price. Everybody is valued. What is honor? It's to value, to esteem, to think that somebody is important, to know that they're important, not to fake it because you want to sell them a car or a policy or insurance or whatever. But you actually value them. You see them, you acknowledge them. You know Christ also died for you, so you are valued by God. We're going to look at another principle later. This is the one you should remember. There's another one coming. And then we know Scripture says, honor all people. And even in the brotherhood, in other words, in your church, honor people. Because we all have been honest that we have been in the space where we do not honor. Why would the Bible explicitly tell you to honor all people? Why? Why does God give this command? Honor people. I think I've got a bit of a key. Listen up closely. Because we so easily honor ourselves. God says, honor all people. Why? Because the flesh has a way and pride has a way that we can quickly honor ourselves. In other words, I'm important. And what happens around me and everything in my context, it needs to be about me. You don't explicitly think it, but the flesh man, the sinful nature, brings you into that space that, Whatever happens in politics, whatever happens in rugby, whatever happens in finance, whatever happens in my church, everything actually starts to go and is about me. So I believe we need to honor other people, for it is so easy to honor ourselves. We're going to look at how the Lord will do that through Scripture today and by the grace of His Spirit. Quick thing. Have you ever been honored? Anybody? Have you been honored? Hands up. All shy, sheepies, very humble. Okay, who wants to tell me, was it lekker? Hoe lekker was it? Baie lekker. Baie lekker. What happened? Anybody want to share? If you're, when your kids organize you a birthday party. Anybody else? Who have been honored? Such a humble folk. Wow, that's awesome. He got a 100% report on a safety audit and his director came personally to thank him. He'll be handing out CVs a bit later and autographs. But it's really good to have those moments, especially when you work hard and you've laid down your life. Anybody else? I know it's pretty simple. Wow, my mom felt honored that when she got married. Amen. Anybody else? When somebody just affirms you, proud of you. That's a massive thing. And you can so easily miss that if you don't get it. If somebody just says they're proud of you. Umyan Barnard, actually, I think it was either in church, or no, in a coffee one day. He just spoke to me. I'm not going to repeat the words, but he just spoke into my life and he just said something that a father would have said or my father would have said. That he wouldn't know it, but it really struck a chord very deep. Because what happened was he saw something, he saw me and he acknowledged something. And that blessed me. So I thank you and I honor you for that. That really, it changed me and I forever remember that. Any last? Yes, Emmy. Amen. 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 That's beautiful. That's awesome. Emmy just shared that he felt honored in getting married. Firstly, you're right. You've got a beautiful wife. And then secondly, everybody coming around him culturally, but also church and sowing into their lives and coming and attending to the wedding as such really honored him as well. So I think we know that honor is really amazing. Who's ever been devalued or dishonored? I think the hands will go up quicker, won't it? Who's ever left somewhere start to snibiene? I don't know what the English is. That sucks, eh? To be dishonored. Unless it's pride that needed to get a bit of a knock, that's fine. I think it's good. It's good sense. Now and again, I needed to get the stuffing knocked out of me. But there's a place where you get dishonored and belittled, where you get devalued. And I'm not speaking about maybe bad fruit, but when it goes to the core, when it goes into your identity, it hurts hard. And those things stick sometimes. And I want to just encourage you, if it did stick, you might not, sometimes it comes up, deal with it. Otherwise, you will struggle to receive true godly honor going forward. And henceforth, will also struggle in giving honor. So please deal with those wounds. We can't do this morning. We're going to a very simple point this morning, true honor. It's just where I see it. You can agree or disagree. You can have a nice coffee and a chat afterwards. But I see honor as follows. I see two different types of honor that I get. I call them fruit honor and faith honor. Fruit honor and faith honor. Okay. So this morning we're very simply going to deal with these two. Fruit honor and faith honor, because in our culture, and especially in Christian charismatic circles, I believe both is applicable. Now, what is fruit honor? I call it also the honor for what is seen. The honor for what is seen. This is very simply where we honor people for what they've accomplished, what they have done. You've written your test, you've done brilliantly, you've got A grades, or you ran the fastest, you broke the record, you get a medallion. In other words, you have performed, hence you receive, hence we acknowledge, hence you'll get honored. Because you have performed, you are valued. Does that sound like, sounds like salary to me? It sounds like performance bonus to me. It sounds like Olympics to me. It sounds like the World Cup to me. It sounds like the music charts to me. It sounds like bestseller to me. So that's the way we're accustomed in our culture. Am I right? That we honor once you accomplish. And please hear my heart. Please hear my heart. Are you hearing my heart? I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying we need to be careful. And as Christians, we don't need to get stuck at only that honor. For when I run my PB at the, what do you call that thing on a Saturday morning? At the park run, my PB at the park run, and I put it on Facebook, then I get 100 likes. I feel honored. All right, so you know where I'm getting at. We need to be careful not to get stuck there because I don't believe that's where God is at for us as a people. I don't take anything away. Who did their PB yesterday? I'm not mocking it. Okay, great. We're on the same page. Because the thing is, we can be highly esteemed and we can be honored for academics, for culture, for sport, for finance, for business, even for religion. We can have lots of honor, fleshly honor in religion. Anyway, and it's part of our culture, and as I said, those accolades aren't bad per se, but we need to be careful not to stay there. Because the flesh can only what? Reap what? What can the flesh reap? Flesh, yes. The flesh will always only reap flesh. So if I have an accolade, if I have got a price, in the fleshly sense of the word, it can only reap flesh. Which entails that it can reap a lot of pride. And that's a problem. Scripture says in Jeremiah 9 verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows God. Hey? Imagine that. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, declares the Lord. God delights not necessarily in a strong man saying, Tsip. Thank you, Dominique. He doesn't actually freak out of that massive bank balance that you've got. He is not too keen on that brilliant mind of yours, even though he loves you. And even though I'm tongue-in-cheek joking, please hear my heart again. I'm not saying we should scrap all of that. I'm just saying be careful. We need to move on. We need to mature. From a fruit honor that is all to do with performance, 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 we need to say, Lord, I want a faith honor. I want an honor that is godly. I want to see, yes, I acknowledge the Saint Bolt is pretty fast. All good. But we want to move on. We say, Lord, not only a fruit honor, but we want to walk in a place where we are faith honorers. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And often you'll find it at Christmas party. I've seen it, unfortunately, if you're a lawyer, you'll have this, that the director, the main director, it's his birthday, and all of a sudden, cookies, tea, everything, a spread gets put out, and then there's speeches. I need to be careful. In a hypothetical business sense of the word, there can be speeches and great things when people walk out or when they have birthdays or when they do stuff. But the moment they walk out there, I know what secretaries and people are saying behind their backs. And so we've got a lot of kissing of the enemy going on there. Kissing my behind type of thing. You get the picture. But the word of God says, better are the wounds of a friend. In other words, the honesty of a good, godly friend than the kisses, the honor, the fake honor of this world. Go and read the Psalms. Man, there's lots of stuff about the deceitfulness and the fakeness, the flattery, the honor of the neighbor and of people, but yet they've got malice in their hearts. They actually want to bring your downfall. So be careful of flattery and honor, because it can actually lead to something else. Another big principle, I believe, why fleshly flatter without the truth of the Lord is probably erroneous, and that is the following. Mark 10:18 says, "Why do you call me good?" This is Jesus. Jesus asked him, "No one is good but one God." This is offensive to the flesh. Ratif, why are you saying we should be careful of fruit honor? In other words, an honor that is only fleshly. Why should we be careful? Because we get so many good people. I guess what? The word says we get no good people. It's awfully quiet all of a sudden. You don't get something like a good person. There's no good people. I've seen computing, Hanabiki Mall. The word says there's no good people. Even Jesus, referred to as good in that moment, turns around. Jesus, you know, Jesus, the good guy, he turns around and he says, "Don't do that. Do not do that. Don't give me the golden watch. Don't give me this walk of glory. Don't pull up the carpets for me. Don't give me the best, for there's one that is good." Whoa, that's humble pie to the flesh. Yeah, but Rudy, if you don't know what I've done, I don't care. The word says, the only goodness that can ever reside in me, his name is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God, in other words. I want to be theologically correct here. I've learned the hard way, and I learn it, and I will learn it again in the future, that nothing good is in me after the fall, save for when I get baptized and saved, and the Spirit of God comes, his goodness comes in me. Really? And if it's true for me, guys, I want to just maybe shock you. It might be true for you as well. I'm not knocking anybody's personality. I'm just saying, hey, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Moving on. True honor. We're moving on to true honor. Who wants to move on to true honor? Okay, great. True honor is to see what God sees. We can only see what God sees because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So the only thing that we can see in one another, if we want to see true honor, is by the grace of God. So, which brings me to my second one, and this is honor for what is not seen. Who's ever honored somebody for what they do not see? And I'm not saying like, Jannie, jy's prachtig, of Jannie, jy's oulik, or sarcasm. I'm not talking about sarcasm, but where you really faithfully see something, you know the person is not walking in this fruit yet, but you prophetically see it and you honor them for it. I think that is also good. Remember, what did we say? What is honor? Honor is to esteem, to value, or to greatly respect. So in other words, value. And we said, what is the value again? What is the value of the price of my head? Jesus. We also said that no man is really good, but one, God. Okay? So it's important to remember these things as we now look at what I believe is true honor, or God-like honor. I think this is where we as born-again believers should be. Is yes, fruit honor, the honor of the world, but sometimes the world would like to honor you with stuff and things and call you to accolades and to accomplish stuff that is not maybe your calling, and you need to walk away from those fruit honor and say, Lord, where is faith honor? What is the eternal honor that I want to walk in? What is the things that I, heavenly things that I need to esteem to in life? There's two probable roads in my life that you know of. I could have gone on to be a corporate lawyer, and I've gone on to do certain stuff and maybe hit certain marks and climb certain corporate ladders and do certain things. We don't have to go into the details. For that, there would have been some honor. Yet there's a place where God says, okay, what do you want? By the way, we know that in ministry, especially, you can fall into a fake honor as well. So please don't hear me like I'm on the godly honor road. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I had to walk away from, and often God calls you away from certain things that would have led to a fleshly honor or a worldly honor. And he says, no, I've got a long-term plan with your life. I've got an eternal honor. I've got a faithful honor for you. I remember I got saved. The stuff that people prophesied over me, I thought they were drunk. Drunker than I was before I got saved. Jammer ma. Save yet. Sy's 'n goeie ma. But I thought, what are you guys on? What are you guys on? The things that they were prophesying and saying of me. They were honoring me where I was in my filth, in my rags, and in my absolute worst state as the prodigal son in the pigsty. As I was there in the pigsty, they started to speak and prophesy and proclaim things, honorary things over my life that I would have never thought. I'm not saying today I'm walking in it. I'm walking in some of it. I'm trusting the Lord for much more of it. But that's what I'm talking about. Faith honor speaks of a way in which God sees. Fruit honor speaks away. Fruit honor in the fact that we need to perform. We need to be good at stuff according to the world. Is not where God sees, it's the way that the flesh sees. But here we're dealing with the one that God and the way that God sees. Two things important here. Honoring is a matter of faith. Godly and biblical honor is a matter of faith. Maybe just remember that one thing. Honoring is a matter of faith. What is faith again? Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or confidence of things unseen. Hallelujah. So honoring is a faith thing. What wives in this place have not sometimes honored their husbands by faith? Yeah. Yes. It means that not all of that esteem, not all of that value, not all of that Christ might have been due at that moment, but yet, by the grace of God, you look further. By the grace of the Lord in you, you say, I honor by faith. So honoring is a matter of faith. I want to look into Paul's eyes and I want to not only see where he's at now, even though it's a good space, you're in church, hallelujah. But I want to see further. I want to say, God, what do you see? I hear the words, I see him serve for me. That's what I hear prophetically. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit will come and bring the waves, will empower you to do the right things, will empower you to bring the moves. That's what God sees. He sees a man after his heart that will serve for him. Not literally, that as well, but spiritually. To wait on the Spirit to help him. To wait on the Spirit to help him. To wait on the Spirit to lift him up. That moment there, in case you didn't catch it, is prophecy. That was a truthful prophecy. I know it in my spirit. And what the Lord is just very simply saying is, this is what I see. This is the way I would like you to honor others. Second thing, foundational truth that I believe to a faith honor is not only that the price of Jesus is on our heads, which is a good price, but the second thing is Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Look to your neighbor quickly. We don't have much time, and tell them you were created in God's image. We need to move on. I've got very little time. But we've been made in his image and likeness. It doesn't always feel that way because of the sinful nature and the brokenness of this world. But if we receive Christ, as we focus on Christ, as he comes and sanctifies our life from gunk, we come to a reminder that yes, we are godly, we are spirit-breathed, and we were made in the image and likeness of God. That is why I want to see God in everybody here. I want to see God's image. I want to call out, some of us hide God's image better than others. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:11, because honor is prophetic in nature. Let's quickly look. I'm quickly going to read through it. We're going to get to verse 16. That's the important one. We have seen this before in this church, but I believe it's important today. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we're giving you cause to boast about us. You see, be careful of boasting, flattering, and fake honor. So that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. You see that beautifully? The focus there, the heart, not outward appearance. The world out there, the culture out there would honor an outward appearance more so, not only, but more so than heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Who's ever been beside themselves for God? I've been. It's lacquer. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Next page. You can go on. Thank you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. The one that is the price on our heads, hey? And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, for their own honor, for their own boasting, for their own accomplishments, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Here's where you need to note. For from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. And I would like to read in there, but we will what? We will regard them according to the Spirit. Fruit honor, world honor, culture honor is not all bad, hear me. But it very often, if not always, regard according to the flesh. But we, as born-again believers, with the price of Jesus Christ on our head, and made in the image and likeness of God, like all mankind, should regard one another, should call out honor, should look for honor, not in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That you might see your Retifus in a very bad space, but yet you have grace to say, but I call forth, I see 10 years from now, I see 20 years from now, I see this, I see this, I see this, and I honor you. Because I see God's hand. Moving on. Quickly, the New Living Translation. I love what it says, verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Listen up, church. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. A carpenter, Joseph and Mary's son, from a nowhere place called, what again? Exactly. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Hey, imagine we can get to know one another. Man, jy was maar weer twee jaar gestap die eerste keer. But just see how we know each other now. I've known some people for 30 years. And often I know other people for 3 months or 3 years. And if I've prayed together with them a couple of times, I know them much better. I've been able to see them. The moment you spend time, that's where you should come to intercession. You get to know people. Come. You get to know people because what is in the heart and what the Spirit sees comes out of them, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. True honor is Spirit and the opinion of God. True honor that we've been called for is the opinion of God, and it's by the Holy Spirit. True honor is prophetic in nature. What does that mean? What does it mean? True honor is prophetic in nature. It does not only honor here and now, it honors future. It honors God's will. It honors what He sees and what He will do. I'm just reminded by the spirit of Gideon. Come now, mighty man of valor. Was it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times? He just said, no, Lord. I think it was 3 times, but I can't. Not me. Why me? The angel comes and says, come, mighty man of valor. Het ook even keer obeyed. And so often we feel like that. Honor releases God. Quickly, Matthew 10. Whoever receives you, receives me. Listen up. This is applicable to your life. It is scripture. Whoever receives you, receives me. This is Jesus, that word. Red letters. And whoever receives me, receives him who sent me. Who sent him? God. So if somebody receives you guys and honors you, guess what? They receive Jesus. And not only do they receive Jesus, they receive the one who sent Jesus, who is our Father. How beautiful is that? Have you ever been into a place where they receive you with open hands and open hearts? It feels good. They acknowledge and see you. In that time, they've also received Jesus and God Himself. And they will reap a harvest. Sometimes you get into a home and they do not receive you or your word. What do you do then? You go out and say, graffiti, the yellow bloody new for. No, you don't. You dust off your feet. I was just checking if you're awake. Just dust off your feet and you move on. Verse 41. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. What does this mean? Very simply this. If I acknowledge what God is doing on your life, I will receive a blessing. If I harden my heart and I do not realize what God has put on your life, I will not receive it. What is the key to this? Listen up. It's humility. It is humility. It is not because you're the pastor. It is because God has graciously saved you. Because there's a price of Jesus Christ on your life. So you're esteemed, you're valued. Okla. But then I see there's something on your life. And I can harden my heart. How can God use X, Y, and Z? How can He use such a culture? How can He use such a tongue? How can He come through such a person that has done such things in their life? The moment I harden my heart and I say that it cannot come from them, guess what? I'm not going to receive it. A very simple thing I said in my notes is that if I don't see God's hand in somebody's life, I will not be able to receive what is in His hand. If I don't think Stephen is of God or his gift is of God, guess what? The gift that he does carry, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to miss it. But if he stands up and preach, and I'm like, I've seen God's hand on your life. Immediately what? Through humility, I receive it. That moment is called honor. Yeah, but you're discipling Stephen. I don't care who. Frida can stand up and bring a word of God. And I can humble myself to the ground and say, I receive that. Or I can say, Chassid, Chassid, kan ons praat hier in die kerkie? Who's ever heard that? Sorry, just a joke. If I want to receive the honor, I need to get rid of the pride in my heart. What steals honor? Familiarity steals honor. Sal die Here regtige blouwbol gebruik? Amen, Albert. Jy is die wonderwerk in my midde. You're the miracle in my midst, Albert. God does work through donkeys and bluebells. But you get the point. The moment I get familiar with somebody, like they did with Jesus, his brother said, but hello, we saw you potty train. Really, we saw you eat purity. We saw you puke there at the stall. So how can you be God's son? We'll joke and laugh at this, but often God will send you a voice in your life, but it doesn't come in the package that you like. So you judge it, or you're either familiar with it, and you miss it. Again, the principle of not acknowledging the prophet. We ran out of time, so I'm just going to rush through this. Why do, or what steals honor, or in the flip side is, what is the fruit of dishonor? Firstly, if you get familiar, the Lord can't use my family member. My sister, I know what my sister did to me. She cannot prophesy to me. You missed it. You've just missed that moment because of a lack of honor. Judgment and pain. Do not judge lest you be judged. If somebody stands up, way back in my BC days, I've partied hard with them, know what they were up to. God has forgiven them. They're a new creation in His eyes, but I'm struggling to get there. I'm still judging them for the sins that they committed 20 or 30 years back. Guess what? I'm not going to receive the blessing. There's no honor in my heart for them because I'm judging them. Even if they did it 3 days back, but they repented, same case. I'm not the judge. God is. And so what can steal the honor and what can steal the blessing for us in churches if we judge one another? If you get into a small group, but you've got judgment and offense and pain towards somebody, you're not going to receive the blessing. That's when you need to get a place of honor to see them again, to acknowledge. Jealousy is the following thing. And then pride and flesh. I'm not going to stand still on those. We don't have time. Because I want to quickly get to the last one. And that is, honor attracts more. And that more is of God. But if, how does it work? Do you know God is not a respecter of persons? He honors and He loves us, but He's not a respecter of persons. In other words, He's not going to give Nick something that He's not willing to give me as well. Or Nick is not more His favorite than me. Nick has not outperformed me so that I can't get what is on his life. If you look at faith honor. But Nick has been faithful in a certain area. And I'm like, wow, I value that. I see that. I acknowledge that. And I call it out. I say, well done. But more than that, I honor you and I value you for that. But I want God to do that for me as well. It's called testimony. Honor releases testimony. So if I humble myself and say, look here, that guy was in the pigsty. He was into drugs and this, that, the, and everything else. God did massive miracle. Look what He's doing now. Who's ever seen Todd White's life? It's like, wow, Lord. This is the way in which he walks in as a new creation. I'm like, I'm envious in a godly way. I want my theology to be so solid. I want my faith to be so solid. But he's a good example. So I can either offend myself or I can say, I want that. I honor. I can see God's hand there. That's God. I want that. And in that moment of honor, in that moment of acknowledgement, I can, if I can come close to him, I can say, please lay hands on me and please pray for me. And I'll receive that. Proverbs 22:4 says, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Humility is a key to all of this. Humility is a key to honor. Pride will like to veer closer to fruit-based honor, where it's all about performance, flesh. But I believe humility is a key for honor in the biblical sense, where we say, God, I want to see everybody the way you see them. I want to esteem and value those around me the way you do. And that honor releases it unto you. So will you stand with me? We're going to do a quick prayer. As you're standing, I'm going to start praying for us to finish up. Lord, I pray that we as a church will have a culture of honor, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We will not walk around, Lord, with just saying stuff for saying's sake, but that we will truly dig deep and say, Christ, what do you see? Holy Spirit, what do you see? What do you see through me in this person's life? And that we'll acknowledge that and we'll call it out prophetically. Sometimes it will be something that is quite evident, a fruit, a godly fruit, and we can say it, and we can bless them. But sometimes it can be something that we pick up that needs to come, and we can call it in prophetically, Lord, because it creates new life. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. This morning, there's a couple of us here, there's a couple of people away for the weekend and camping and away for Mother's Day. So we're not everybody. But I think we do know one another quite well. So I want us to, in breaking up and taking coffee, please don't speed off. Please don't rush off. But I want you to think of somebody in this place by the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I want faith honor. Just a moment of faith honor. Who can I just honor and value and esteem this morning? Who can I just see this morning? And what do you show me? It can be very simple. Hey, man, thank you for your life. Hey, man, thank you for the way you love people. I thank you that you lay down your life. Whatever it is, I want you not to go before you've at least gone and honored one person. And then, if you've got the faith for it, and if you see something on somebody's life that is God's hand, and you want it to be multiplied in your life, go to them and say, please pray for me. I honor what I see in your life, but I honor God that will multiply it in my life as well. And in that place of humility, I'm going to trust that the Lord brings a harvest of honor in our congregation. Amen. Lord, we just commit this time to you, Lord, as we go. We've got Mother's Day lunches to get to. But here's a moment in time, a moment of honor in time. And so, Holy Spirit, please just lead, Lord. Even if somebody doesn't get a turn, thank you that the Holy Spirit will come and speak honor and faith honor into their life. And I pray now for your Spirit to come amongst us. For these two things, to honor somebody authentically and truthfully, faithfully, and then secondly, to where we see something, to see the multiplication in our own life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless. Let's spend a moment, grab some coffee, don't rush off.